Everybody hear me out there pretty good, I hope. Praise his name. It's good to be in God's house. Good to be in here one more time. You know, I'm thankful. And you know, I'm going to continue on. We're going to continue on in John this morning. This is something that the Lord has put upon my heart. We're going to be over in John, the 20th chapter. And, I just think this is so awesome whenever God gives you confirmation about stuff. And I say this a lot up here, but it seems like some of the teaching and some of the testimonies and stuff, it goes right along with what God's wanting me to preach on this morning. I titled my sermon this morning, Thomas Missed the Meeting. And you'll get the gist of it here in a little bit. But I'm just so blessed this morning to be able to be here and thank God for this opportunity. All right, if you would, turn with me to John 20. And we're going to start about 24. And we're going to read down through there a ways. And we'll see how far the Lord lets me read here. Then we'll go with it. All right, it says, but Thomas, let's back up a little bit. Let's go to verse 20. 20:20 down through. That's where I want to start. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands, his side. Then were the disciples glad that they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Then the other disciples wherefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy fingers, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto them, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. And I'm going to go back to verse 19. I'm going to get it because I skipped over. Then it's the same day at the evening, when the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And as I have done the last few times, I also want to go over to 1 Peter, because this is what I want to talk. He said, for the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begins at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be? Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for the moving of your spirit that we have felt here this morning. What we have felt, I want to thank you for the teaching of your word this morning. I want to thank you for all those who have made their way out this morning, on this cold morning, for those who are out in their cars, for those who have made their way in here. I pray that you would bless those listening at home this morning as well. I pray, Father, that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning, Lord. I pray that the anointing be upon it, that you would help me, Father, as I endeavor, Lord, to preach it, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd be with me on it. It's a blessing, and Father, to be here, Lord. And I pray, Father, that the message would be a blessing to those that hear it this morning. Let your words minister everyone who hears it. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name, and we pray, and amen. Thank you. In the text I've read this morning, his disciples have gathered together, and it's a Sunday night meeting. It's exactly what it is. It's a Sunday night meeting. It says here, and then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. The first day of the week was Sunday. Could I say this is probably the first Sunday night meeting in the church? If people want to fuss about why Christians go to church on Sunday, if they want to say whatever they want to, and it's real simple. The reason why we gather on a Sunday is because that's the first day of the week when Jesus came out of the tomb. That's why we gather on a Sunday. The Bible says in Acts 27, 20th chapter, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. 1 Corinthians 16, 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores as God has prospered him, there being no gathering when I come. Folks, and I say this, and I want to say this this morning, the same day that Jesus rose out of the tomb is the reason the first day of the week, which is a Sunday, is why we gather on Sundays. We find the disciples gathered together on a Sunday evening in the scripture that I just read. This is a good picture of the local church. Now remember the title of my sermon this morning. Thomas missed the meeting. He missed the first one. This is a good picture of the local church. And you've got believers, you've got the disciples there. Let me read it, verse 19 again. And the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace, peace be unto you. That's what believers do. I hope you understand that. I hope we all understand it. Believers assemble themselves together at an appointed time at a certain location. That's what believers do. To lift up the name of Jesus, it's for themselves to be lifted up. It's for them to be edified. It's to edify the body. It's to edify Jesus. It's to edify as the body of believers by the teaching that they get, by the testifying they get, by the singing that they get, and by the preaching that they get. That's why we gather together as a body in the church. So here we have in John chapter 20 and verse 19, we have a Sunday night prayer meeting. We have a Sunday night meeting to get a Sunday night service. And wouldn't you know it, it's Sunday evening, and the original church and the original Sunday night meeting is already missing someone from the service. Already. It's the first one, and someone's missing. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. That's what it said. He had been with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He talked with him. He listened to the words that Jesus laid out there, seen the miracles. He'd walked with him, yet he's missed church. Now, work with me a little bit this morning. Now, just work with me a little bit this morning. I want you to work with me. Those out in the car, are you still with me? Work with me a little bit. Give me a little leeway this morning because I want to say, the first Sunday night meeting and Thomas is missing. Well, Pastor, I can't find it in the Bible how many times you need to go to church. Whether it be Sunday or whether it be midweek service or whatever it may be, I don't see that in the Bible. You're right. It doesn't say, well, you got to be there on Wednesday. You got to be here this. But I want to show you what the Bible does say. Turn with me to Acts, the second chapter. Give you a minute to turn there. Acts 2, 46 and 47. Acts 2. 46 and 47. Honk when you get there. Thank you. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. Look what it did. And the Lord added to the church daily as should have been saved. For everyone to say, yeah, it doesn't say that you shouldn't be there Wednesday. You know what they did in the first day? They were there every day. They were there every night. Let that soak in for a minute. How about meeting every night? You know, it should be a blessing for us to come to church. It should be a privilege to go to church and not a burden. It should not be a chore to come to church. Now, meeting on Wednesday night don't sound too bad whenever the church at the beginning met every night. It's nothing else this virus should have done for everybody, even sitting out in the cars. What a little bit of people are in here this morning is a new appreciation for the assembling of ourselves together. It should give us a new appreciation for the meetings that God has allowed for us to have. In this country right now, we still are allowed to meet as much as we want to. Lord knows what happens in the future, I don't know. But for right now, we are still allowed to meet. Also know this, when we come to church, you do it for yourself. You're not coming to church for Dave Long. You shouldn't be coming to church for your mom or your dad. You shouldn't be coming to church for your spouse. You should be coming to church for you. It's not for me. It's not for anyone else in this church. It's for your spiritual growth is why you should have a desire to be in God's house. Absolutely. That's what it should be for your good, for your benefit. Thomas was missing, and for whatever reason, the Bible doesn't elaborate on why he was missing. It doesn't. But over in Hebrews 10:25, it says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as to see the day approaching. You know why it doesn't say assembled? It says the assembling. You know why it doesn't say assembled? And I found this interesting when I was studying this, and maybe you should too. Because if it was assembled, you could come Christmas and Easter and you would assemble. But it says assembling. And assembling means on a regular basis. But Paul said, forsake not the assembling. You need to do it on a regular basis. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. Can I tell you something? It's hard for me to exhort you when you're not here. It's hard for anybody else in this church to exhort one another when they're not here. Exhort means to strongly encourage, urge someone to do something. When you're exhorting someone for the Lord, you're encouraging them, strongly exhorting them to do something for God. And we see the day approaching. And we know what the day approaching is. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we see that. A Christian should want, as I said this last week, we should want to yoke up closer and more often under the roof of the local church. We're out here in our cars now. We should want to yoke up more, even during this time, even more as we gather in our cars. Because why? Because I believe it's getting closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Jesus said in Luke 21, when talking to his disciples about the temple being destroyed and also about his second coming, he said this, and he spake unto them in a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh and is at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh. Brothers, I look around and I can see spiritually summer is coming. Can you see that? I can see it. That's why we need to yoke up more and more and more. So when I read the text this morning to preach on it this morning, I wonder why Thomas wasn't there. I wonder what his excuse was. You know, folks have all kinds of excuses. There was a song out years ago that was called Excuses. And we all remember that. Anybody that remembers it back years ago? I wonder if Thomas was too tired. Are you not glad that Jesus wasn't too tired to go to the cross? I am. I am tickled to death that Jesus wasn't too tired to go to the cross. I wonder if maybe it was too cold that night. You know, I wonder if Thomas' relatives were visiting. Maybe Thomas wasn't there because the rest of the disciples were hypocrites. I could hear Thomas telling his wife, well, you know that Peter? He's going to be there. And just a few days ago, he was telling everybody, I'm going to follow Jesus till the end. And yet he denied him three times. Can you hear Thomas saying, well, I don't go down there with that hypocrite. I'm not going down there with those hypocrites. I wonder if Thomas was thinking, this is the only day where I can relax. I'm not going down there with those disciples when I can spend time at home. They won't miss me anyway. Maybe the sea were biting on the, maybe the fish were biting on the Sea of Galilee. And man, the conditions are just right. Hey, you think I'm too hard? I'm trying to tell you, I'm just giving you excuses why Thomas, I think Thomas missed church. Thomas was mentioned three times in the book of John. And all three times gives you insight into what his mindset was. John 11, the story of Lazarus, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and two disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. John 14, when Jesus tells his disciples, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am also, that you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and ways ye know. And Thomas saith unto the Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And this is morning scripture. But Thomas was one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he saith unto them, except I shall see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. So what was Thomas's mentality? We're all going to die. I don't know, and I doubt it. That was his mentality. And it was, so that was Thomas in a nutshell. That's what his mentality. And he's out of church on a Sunday night. And I heard folks say, who haven't darkened the doors of church for years, say, well, I know I haven't been to church for years, but I just praise the Lord every day. I'm going to be blunt with you. I doubt it. You can tell me that, but I doubt it. You say, well, you're judging. No, by their fruits you shall know them. 1 Peter 4:18 pops into my mind. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? It pops into my mind every time I hear somebody say that has not been in church for a while. If you love God and the things of God, you would want to be around God's people. Amen or oh my. You want to be around God's people. I believe when a person is born again, the purpose of their heart will change. They want to be around God's people and the things of God. Paul was the best example of this in the Bible that I can find. And there's many of them in here, but he's one of the best I can find. If you look at Acts 9, 1 and 2 and Acts 9, 21, and when you get it, listen, I'm not going to go out there and read them, but you go out and read them, but it shows you how he went from one extreme to the other. He was hunting down Christians to kill them, to where he was wanting to get people saved. When you get a good dose of salvation and a good dose of this book, and you get a good dose of peace of God that passes all understanding, you'll want to get into church as much as possible and be around God's people as much as possible. Guess what? You get addicted to that. That's exactly what happens. Addicted means you get physically and mentally dependent on something. Man, I've dealt with a lot of people down through the years been addicted to other stuff. And that's true. They get physically and they get mentally addicted to something. But can I tell you this morning, when you get a big dose of Jesus, it's the same way. For now, for whatever reason, Thomas wasn't there that night with the rest of them. And I would like to preach, I haven't even got to the preaching yet, that why he missed the meeting. What happens whenever you miss a meeting? And by what we miss out on when we're not there. Verse 19 again. And then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. The first thing that he missed was protection. We're saying, what? What are you talking about protection? We mean protection. No, we're not talking about the protection from the nut jobs out here in the world where we have to put people at the doors and in the back so we have to watch who comes into the church. I'm not talking just about that. We have that here. Notice, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. Folks, I believe that a person, when they miss a service, they miss protection from what comes with serving God and being around God's people. I believe when you come into these services and we shut these doors, it is a place to come to get away from the world. If it's an hour, if it's 2 hours, whatever it may be, it is a place of protection, whether we're out in those cars out there in that parking lot, whether we're in this church door, is to come and get away from the world for a while. It's a place to come and get away from the news. It's a place to come and get away from TVs. It's a place to come and get away from the crowd that is out there. Praise His name, that don't know God and don't care to know Him. The local church should be the lifeline. It should be. You're out in the world all week long, and that world blasphemes God and takes God's name in vain. A world that doesn't want the things of God or hear about the things of God. A world where hope is in short supply. And spiritually, the local church should be a place where we come in and we fellowship and we love God and we praise God and we have the protection of God. Praise His name this morning. Those other disciples went in and they shut that door for fear of the Jews, for fear of the world. We come in here whenever our service is, we should come here to shut the world out. A world where hope is in short. Listen, we feel protected when we come in here. The local church should not be isolation, but insulation. Would you agree with me on this morning? This local church should be a place not of isolation, but of insulation from the world. When the doors are shut, you should be closed in with God's people and with God's book. And I praise His name this morning. Well, isn't that God with me on the outside of the church? Yes, He should be. But praise His name. There is a difference about being amongst God's people and being in God's house. But there's something special about it. And when you begin to forsake gathering together with the body of believers and into the local church, you're turning your back on that protection. You are. You're turning your back on that protection. I've seen many of them do that down through the years at different churches. I've seen some do it here at this church. They come and they're going here for a while and things were going all right. But then now the protection, they're not here for the protection. You're looking for protection from the world. It's not going to happen. In John 15, 18 and 20. If the world hates you, know that it was hated me before it hated you. This is Jesus talking. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will also keep yours. And may I say, there is a great deception in the church world today about this. There is. It's a great deception that if you make the church more like the world and you can draw the world in, it's what they'll tell you, and reach them for Jesus. Make them feel comfortable. But that's not what the Bible tells us. That's not what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 6:17 tells us, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, like I preached last week. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Folks, the world should never feel comfortable sitting in a church. When I was lost, I never felt comfortable sitting in a church, not because the people didn't shake my hand, not because the people didn't come to me and tell me I was welcome, but because what they were preaching, what they believed, did not agree with what I was doing. The world should never feel comfortable sitting in a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God. Someone living in the world will never feel comfortable until they get right with God. When I got saved, I started feeling comfortable in church. That's when I got comfortable. Not until. The church should be a place where those that aren't right can get right. And a church should be a place where those that are right can escape what is out in this world. I thank God that I can come to these services all the time that I can come because I need it. I need to get away from what is out here in the world. Thomas missed that opportunity that night. He missed it. Outside were the disciples were gathered that night were God haters. People who mocked Jesus. People who put an innocent man to death. Those who rejected Jesus were outside those doors that night. Those were the ones outside of that room that night. They wanted to shut out from being in there. One of my favorite scriptures, and I say this all the time over in 1 Peter, and you hear me say it, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. If you ever watch any documentaries on the lions, do you know what they do? They go after the young and they go after the weak. What's the devil do? What's the devil do in the churches across this country? He goes after the young ones and he goes after the weak. He does that. And brothers and sisters, when you're outside of protection, and when you're outside of the protection of the local church, out of your local church, when you're out of that protection, listen, separate them from the rest of the pack. That's what they try to do. And once they do that, then they try to go in for the kill. Folks, the devil does that to the young Christian, and he does that to the weak Christians. Once you start missing church, you're pulling away from the pack. That's what happens. You're pulling away from the pack. When you're outside of the pack, you're prey to the devil and his minions. And you're on your own. And may I say this right up front, you're no match for him on your own. Thomas missed out on protection. He missed out on it. He missed out on the protection that the church offered. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. If you would turn with Luke 24 with me, please. Luke 24. Let's get some more information about this meeting that we're seeing right here, about this Sunday night meeting. Luke 24, 36 through 48. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for the spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat there before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, and they might understand the scriptures. Mark that. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that they repent and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses to these things. The second thing I want you to notice about this, because whenever Thomas missed church, is the preaching of God's word. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? Listen, and guess who was doing the preaching? He missed service that night. He missed it. And there was Jesus himself, Jesus explaining the scriptures to them. From Genesis to Malachi. And Thomas missed it. He missed it. It wasn't put on a CD. It wasn't put on a flash drive back then. It wasn't live streamed. He missed it. He didn't see it, not being there personal. Even if he could have, it wouldn't have been the same. Can I tell you something? You know what? Listen, what service Thomas missed, he missed it. He couldn't get it back. I've been in services where the Spirit of God has moved so much. The preaching was so awesome. And I go out and I try to explain it to someone that wasn't there. I did my best, but they couldn't comprehend it. They had to be there. But there's nothing like being in a service where the Spirit is moving and the people are getting blessed. There's nothing like it. Thomas missed the preaching. He missed the blessing of being with the rest of God's people. 1 Corinthians 1:21. And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by what? The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Folks, in these times, we can't afford to miss services. We can't afford it. We have a lot of what I call PPC folks out there today. We have a lot of them. Professional preacher critiquers. That's what I call them. There's a bunch of them out there. And most of them hardly darken the doors of a church. But they can tell you if a preacher is too loud. They can tell you if he's too long. They can tell you if he's too short. They can tell you if he's too crass. They can tell you if he's preaching the word or if he's judgmental, if he's preaching too hard or if he's preaching too soft. And most of these critiquers wouldn't know good preaching if it come up and punched them in the nose. Yeah, I'm being kind of blunt today, I know. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Can you imagine? Can you even imagine what Jesus preached to them that night that Thomas missed out on and he wasn't going to get that service back? He wasn't going to get it back. No way, shape, or form. He wasn't getting it back. Folks, I remember myself. I told you I've been in church. I remember missing services myself and hearing people tell me about the service and what the preacher preached on last night. And I'd even get the CD, but it wasn't the same because I missed it. And they would go into trying to explain it. Man, I tell you, it just break my heart sometimes. And I found out down through the years that when I would miss a good service or a good preaching service, you know what? That was meant for me. It was meant for me to be there. And I just decided not to be. Thomas missed the protection. Thomas missed the preaching. And Thomas missed the presence of God himself. Again, John 20:19. And it said, for fear, and Jesus stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Jesus stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now I'm going to tell you something this morning. Whenever two or three people gather in church, what did he say? He said, I am there. Every church service, Jesus is there. He's there, everyone. There's something special about gathering together with God's people. No, there's times the Spirit don't move the way that we want it to move, the way that we feel that it should, but Jesus is there. Revelations 2, unto the angels of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You know what the seven golden candlesticks are? They were the churches. Jesus walks in the midst of the churches, and he still does it. You know, listen, folks, there's something special about gathering together this morning in this church. Whether out there in that car, whether in this building, there should be something special in your heart about being able to gather. Because why? Because he is in the midst. Thomas missed that. He missed it. And when we are not gathered in the believers, we will miss not being with them, but also we will miss not being with Jesus when we're not here. You know, if Thomas would have been where he should have been, he would have had all the questions that he had answered that night. Every one of them. Thomas was down. Thomas was doubting. He was in despair. He told the other disciples he would not believe until he could see for himself. He would have been there that Sunday night service. He would have had them all answered that first night. Why? Because Jesus showed up. I have been in services where the Spirit has showed up. Have you not? I've been there. The Spirit has showed up and people were blessed. And people were shouting and testifying. The preacher didn't even get to preach. When God shows up, when the Spirit starts to move, you can't explain it. You've got to be there. You know, Thomas did not know that Jesus was alive. You know, he didn't know Jesus was alive. Can I tell you something? Some Christians today act like Jesus is still in the tomb. They do. They act like Jesus isn't alive. But I'm telling you something. If Jesus isn't alive in your heart, you'll feel it. You'll know it. Absolutely. The last portion of John 20:19, and he saith unto them, peace be unto you. You know, Thomas's heart was in turmoil. For 8 days, the other disciples seen Jesus, and for 8 days, Thomas, he went on living in that despair and in that turmoil for 8 more days. If he would have just made the effort, he would have found peace for his weary soul that night. Jeremiah 31:25 says this, for I have saturated the weary soul, I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, Thomas missed it. He missed it at all, but not showing up for that Sunday evening service. Folks, we need peace in our hearts more today than we ever have. Absolutely. We need it. The world can't give it. Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like a troubled sea which it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and muck and then dirt. Can you not see that happening today? I can see all this being turned up and toiling and all the stuff in John 20:20. And the very thing that Thomas said he wanted to see, Jesus showed the ones who were there. He showed them. And when he said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad that they saw the Lord. That they saw the Lord. Folks, there have been many times I come to church when I have been down and out. I told myself just reasoning within my own mind that I probably shouldn't come, that I shouldn't be there. But man, was I glad when I got to the house of God. Because he stirred my soul and he blessed me. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight the path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let rather it be healed. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I have left church feeling better than I went. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Thomas missed the protection. Thomas missed the preaching. Thomas missed the presence of God. Thomas also missed out on the people of God. when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, can I tell you this morning, you're not doing this on your own. You're not going to do this on your own. You need the brethren. You need the church. And the church family, you know what? They need you. Acts 5, 12 through 14. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and the believers were the more added to the Lord's multitudes, both men and women. But ye are chosen, 1 Peter, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's something special about God's people. There should be something special about God's people. There's something special about the local church. There's something good about having accountability, about being accountable to the people of God. You say, what? Yeah. Yes. It's harder to get off track when you're around born-again believers. If my friends are born-again believers, if my friends are the people from my church, it's harder to get off track if you're right there with them all the time. A few years back, I remember we would go everywhere with our friends and stuff, and we went up to the mountains, and we went up there, and we got a cabin, and we was up there, and we had good fellowship all weekend long. There was nothing junk and nothing. We had good fellowship all weekend long because we were around God's people. When you are of your circle of friends you turn church with regularly, Thomas missed out on that night. He missed out on being with God's people that night. And doubt came in, and fear was in there. In closing this morning, I want you to see one more thing. Look at John 20, 25 and 26. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now get this. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Did you get that? You know what the other disciples did? They did a visitation on Thomas. Did you notice that? From verse 19 to verse 26, they went and visited Thomas. And they told him, you know what you've been missing? You know what you missed? Thomas, you need to get back in church, Thomas. You need to show up. Thomas was encouraged. Thomas, Jesus encouraged us. Jesus encouraged us, and he lifted our hearts up. And that's when Thomas said, I ain't going to believe till I see for myself. Of course, Thomas is like a lot of other folks. We try to get back into church when we go and visit him. Well, I'll come sometime. I've been thinking about it. I doubt it will help. But Thomas overcame all that stuff, and when he got into church, and he showed up, it happened. And after 8 days, it said again, his disciples were within, and Thomas in, and he came, and Jesus, the door being shut, and he stood in the midst. And he saith unto him, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. It doesn't say Thomas did that. It doesn't say in the Bible that he literally stuck his fingers. It didn't say that he stuck his hand in his side. It doesn't say that. Gee, listen. Thomas, when Jesus showed up, and he got back, he overcome all that stuff, and he got where he needed to be, God did the work in his life that needed to be done. Two meetings, and Jesus showed up to both of them. And the last one, he had a special word for Thomas. Can I tell you something? That meeting that you may miss, Maybe God's trying to talk to you and He has a word for you. Maybe He has something for you. Praise His name this morning. Praise His name this morning. I believe God speaks through His word. I believe He speaks through the preaching. I believe He speaks through the teaching. And Thomas answered him and said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas got right. And you know what blessed me about the story is the Lord already knew Thomas's heart. He already knew that he hadn't been in church. Before Thomas could even speak the words, Jesus said, "Thomas, go ahead and do it." But Thomas didn't. And praise His name this morning. Thomas got it right. There's hope. Those folks that haven't donned the doors have darkened the doors of this church for a while. There's hope. But they're going to have to come back and they're going to have to get it right. I believe you, I've worried about this, praying about this and thinking about this down through the week. I believe he went out after that and he was no longer doubting Thomas. He's only mentioned three times in the book of John. I don't see him mentioned anywhere else, but I believe in my heart he had peace in his heart. He had hope in his heart. He had joy in his heart. Jesus didn't say, "Because you were here, I don't want anything to do with you." Instead, as Jesus always does, Jesus said, "I am here to help. I'm here to uplift. I'm here to draw you back." He was waiting right there where Thomas left him. He's waiting where those people left him, right here, wanting to draw them back in. It's important to assemble together with like-minded folks as much as possible. You never know when Jesus has a special word for you. And He may want to deliver it through the teaching or through the preaching or through a testimony. Some of the best blessings I've ever gotten has been through people standing up and giving a heartfelt testimony. Amen? Because it comes from the heart. That's what you want. And if you miss a meeting, you miss out on that. You miss out on it. Thomas missed something he could never get back. He could never get it back. But praise God, he got it right. Julie, get a song, please.